Vanadari. Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Teravanachari Ajamuna Teravanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vanadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Teravanachari Jamuna Teravanachari Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jai Nitya Lila Pravista Astatara Satasi Siman is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasiti Gaura Bhaktivinda Kija Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Kija Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kija Gaura Bhimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. This is a rare sight. We don't usually see saffron and sikas here in Lachua. Welcome. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 24, Text Number 31. Tanyeva te barupani Rupani Bhagavamstava Yani Yani Charochante Svajananam Arupina Tanyeva te birupani Rupani Bhagavamstava Yani Yani Charochante Svajananam Marupina Tanyeva Te Rupani excuse me. Tanyeva te rupani. Rupani bhagavam stava. Yani yani charo chante. Svajana namarupina. Please chant. Tani, those, Eva, truly, te, your, abhirupani, suitable, rupani, forms, Bhagavan, O Lord, tava, your, yani, yani, whichever, cha, and, Rochante are pleasing Svajananam to your own devotees. Arupina of one with no material form. Translation. My dear Lord, although you have no material form, you have your own innumerable forms. They truly are your transcendental forms, which are pleasing to your devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord is one absolute, but He has ananta, or innumerable forms, advaita, achyuta, anadi, anantarupam. The Lord is the original form, but still He has multi-forms. Those multiforms are manifested by Him transcendentally according to the taste of His multi-devotees. It is understood that once Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, said that he knew that Narayana, the husband of Lakshmi, and Ram, the husband of Sita, are one and the same, and that there is no difference between Lakshmi and Sita. But as far as himself, he liked the form of Lord Ram. In a similar way, some devotees worship the original form of Krishna. When we say Krishna, we refer to all forms of the Lord, not only Krishna, but Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Narayana, etc. The varieties of transcendental forms exist simultaneously. This is also stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Navayantarantam. He already exists in multi-forms, but none of the forms are material. Sridhar Swami has commented that arupina, without form, means without material form. The Lord has form. Otherwise, how can it be stated, Tanyeva te burupani, upani bhagavams tava? You have your forms, but they are not material. Materially, you have no form, but spiritually, transcendentally, you have multiforms. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand these transcendental forms of the Lord, and being disappointed, they say that the Supreme Lord is impersonal. But that is not a fact. Wherever there is form, there is a person. Many times in many Vedic literatures, the Lord is described as Purusha, which means the original form, the original enjoyer. The conclusion is that the Lord has no material form, and yet, according to the liking of different grades of devotees, he simultaneously exists in multi-forms, such as Ram, Sringa, Varaha, Narayana, Mukunda, etc. There are many thousands and thousands of forms, but they all are Vishnu Tattva, Krishna. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmanitamina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vanchakapatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasini Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating on his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Before we start with the topic today, a little realization I had. So I was driving into the temple this morning. Like many of us here in the community, I've been here a few decades now. And it has changed considerably. It used to be just a quick, you know, 3, maybe 5 minute drive. You know, now we've got all these trucks and this is and that's an expansion, and so it takes so much longer. And so I was driving amongst all these individuals going about their morning activities, going here and there. And I was thinking to myself, how fortunate we are. We're all sitting here hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of the additional members of the community are sitting at home hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful thing about the technology of this age. But at any rate, so, you know, we've got this opportunity, and we often take it a little bit lightly. Yeah, I'll go to the Bhagavatam class, or I'll listen to the Bhagavatam class, you know. I don't feel like listening to it today. I'll skip it today, you know. We have that almost, and I don't say this just for sake of it, almost casual mood about the things we do. But the reality is we're performing the greatest activities that can be done. We've taken this human form of life by the mercy of our spiritual master, and we have embraced the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've taken the opportunity. This is why Srila Prabhupada, I was just reading this yesterday, Prabhupada was saying, you know, I've worked so hard to publish these books. Are you reading them? There's that famous story where he tells about a devotee being asked, oh, you're selling your master's books, do you read them? No, no, we don't read them, we only sell them. So, you know, Prabhupada was always emphasizing, you must study my books. I've given you everything. So we really are very fortunate. Additionally, we're given it through the medium of the pure devotee. Without the pure devotee's presentation, without the famous Bhaktivedanta purports, how would we understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Many of us from my generation, we had read Bhagavad Gita before coming to Krishna consciousness, couldn't figure it out, had no clue what it meant, didn't understand a word of it, you know. Of course, the multi-forms of activities we were also performing may have had something to do with that. But the point being, when we come in contact with the pure devotee, that understanding becomes clear. So we're all most fortunate. What's that word for most fortunate, that Sanskrit word? I've heard Prabhupada say it before many times. Huh? Huh? Yes. At any rate, so just a little something I thought I would share. So the title of our previous chapter is Devahuti's Lamentation, while the title to this chapter is The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Now, materially, we would think that Devahuti's lamentation is that of her husband's renunciation. This would be what would make sense. Why is Devahuti lamenting? Because her husband has renounced. He is duly preparing for such renunciation throughout the relationship. He was already in the renounced order and, you know, then accepted on the instruction of Brahma. All right, I'll take this wife, populate the universe, assist you in your service. Yes, that's fine. Interesting, because he was living like a renunciate, then he took up the role of a grihastha, and then he is again living like a renunciate. So from his perspective, whatever the instruction is, all right, I'll do this, that, okay, whatever is necessary to assist you in your service. Brahma needs to populate the universe. This is his responsibility. He can't do it by himself. Doesn't mean he could, but at any rate. So he's engaging all these different individuals. You do this, you do this, you do this, and like that. So in that sense, Kardama Muni is, all right, whichever ashram, no problem, you know. He's leaving her, though, with a suitable representative as he transitions from one ashram to the next. This was Devahuti's lamentation. Oh, wait, you're leaving, but you haven't given anyone to take care of, to protect me, to guide me, to instruct me. This doesn't mean she wasn't capable on her own. She's a highly advanced devotee. But in this particular role, that was the responsibility. So that was her lamentation. Okay, therefore, the son is given. And then after this, okay, now I'll continue my transition from one ashram to the next. And this is done in a very methodical and reasonable manner. There's no need for Devahuti to lament her husband's renunciation because of that. For most couples, this is a natural transition of life. As you grow older, activities of family-based become less and less. Now, that may not be true for all. There are circumstances that have to be taken into account. This is the wonderful thing, that whatever circumstance one is in, one can engage in the practice of Krishna consciousness, and it doesn't require these things. Now, sometimes there are situations which are embraced in different circumstances by different devotees. We were reading last week Bhaktivinoda Thakur's 12 self-imposed regulations, in which he says, if, and he starts off with that word, if means there's a little leeway here. If any reader of these self-imposed regulations that I'm writing is interested in following the muscle, you may be blessed to do so. Very much different than do it. You know, what's that? Nike. Yeah, you know, that's their slogan, do it. Because it's very instructive. It's very simple. Whoever was the genius that came up with this, he's probably made millions and millions of dollars. Because, oh, I got two words. You know, you hear people say, I got two words for you. They're usually not two words you want to hear. But in this particular case, it says, do it. Now, this became their slogan, and everybody knows those two words connected to that product. Here, we see the Bhaktivinoda is saying, yes, do that if you're inclined in this way, but he's not forcing it. Here's what I'm doing that's working for me. If this is applicable to you, please embrace it. And this is really how we share Krishna consciousness. This is how Srila Prabhupada shared Krishna consciousness. You know, he showed by his own example, he engaged according to his circumstance. And when people were interested, yes, you can also do. Yes, embrace this too. So each of us in that sense has a different path in our devotional service. We have our general template, regulative principles, association, prasadam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we each have individuality within that, which really interestingly ties into this verse because it's mentioned here. The Lord has his individual multi-forms. Now, we only have our one form. We have different identities within that form, husband, wife, father, mother, associate, worker, et cetera, you know. And many of those different identities carry different names with them. So we have many different names. We have many different roles that we play. It's the same way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, we would say, because it's the way it is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is why it's like that with us. Now, while we have these basic similarities, these basic vows, these basic practices and readings, the details of how they're followed and applied is going to be different from devotee to devotee. One's a brahmachari, one's a householder, one's living as a elderly family separated from the children, grandchildren, whatever. One is engaged in some type of occupational duty. One is engaged in studying all day. All of these different circumstances, because the living entities are individual. It's not cookie cutter. Now, Gandharvika Mataji, her expertise is when she's making these cookies that she sells all the time. Those of you that are know, you know. She's got this cookie cutter, and they all have to come out right. Now, if the dough catches on one side of the cookie cutter and then she lifts it in that piece of... Now, throw that one away. Let's do this again. Because in that circumstance, you want every single one to look exactly the same. You want them all to taste exactly the same. You want the decoration to be exactly the same for that batch and then another like that. Devotional service is not like that. Look at all the differences just here. Physically, mentally, financially, spiritually. So accepting the variety that's there, how would we not be able to accept the variety of the Lord's multiforms? They're your transcendental forms. And why are they there? Because they're very pleasing to the devotees. Some devotees, the mention right in the beginning of the purport here of Hanuman, some devotees are very attached to different forms of the Lord according to their circumstance. And how we worship the Lord is also going to be a part of that variegatedness. All forms of the Lord expand from the same original Lord Vishnu, and we're attracted to various forms in our own manner of worship. Some people are particularly attracted to Radhe Shyam, some to Krishna Balaram, some to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. I know one family in our community have been here since the dirt on this property was created, and they're very, very attached to Gaur Nithai, because back then, Gaur Nithai were all we had. So the point is that different devotees have different attachments to different forms of the Lord. And as it's stated here in the beginning of this purport, Advaitam Achutam Anadam Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Vedeshu Dulabhavan Dulam Atma Bhakto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Lord is the original form, but he has his multi-forms. Now, how are these forms manifest? They're manifest according to the taste, the desire of the different types of devotees. As the word is used here, the multiple types of devotees. Actually, it's a so-called improper English word, but it fits the scenario perfect. Prabhupada was expert at this. Almost, you might say, creating words that were just so ideal for that. So multi-devotees, the multitude of devotees, the variety, but multi-devotees. In other words, devotees with many different natures, many different types of activities. Now, there's the classic example we have of Murari Gupta during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila. Roy Gupta was a very intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. He was much elder. He was even a bit older than Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. So he was almost like a grandfather figure. And it may not be painted that way, but the reality is otherwise. So at any rate, he was described, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes him as the ideal householder because he was a great devotee of both Lord Ramchandra and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, we know the story that Murari was very, very attached to Lord Ramchandra, especially if we take into account that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Kavi Karnapur, both in their books describing who's who in the Leela from Krishna Leela to Gaura Leela, point out that he's an incarnation of Hanuman. So we would expect nothing other than that attachment to Lord Ram. But in the purport, Prabhupada tells the story of how deep is his attachment to Hanuman. The presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of him, and yet nonetheless, the attachment to Mahaprabhu, but the continued attachment to Hanuman. Hanuman himself, we know how attached he was, you know, to the point that once Hanuman was given, Prabhupada, first of all, he quotes here this statement that the great devotee of Hanuman said that he understood that Narayan is the and Lakshmi are non-different than his Sita and Ram, yet he's very, very attached to them. Now, we see two things present in that. One, the individuality of a devotee does not have to be sacrificed in the execution of their devotional service. Some devotees are very, very, very inclined and connected to deity worship. Some devotees are very, very inclined and connected to book distribution. Some devotees are very, very inclined and connected to kirtan. Some devotees are very, very inclined and connected to cooking. We have different activities. It doesn't mean that all the devotees are going to do the same thing. So there is that individuality that does not have to be given up. And secondly, that knowing the origin of a particular form does not require giving up attachment to that form. Murari Gupta, he understood Lord Ramchandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, they're all the same. But I'm very attached to Lord Ramchandra. So much so that as when Hanuman was once told that he was feeling great separation. Actually, Sita, at the coronation when they returned from the forest, Sita had given him a necklace and told him this was, Ram was present and everything, and he started to try and eat this necklace. Varna, you monkey, why are you doing this? No, you said Ram is in everything I want to see. No, Ram is also in your heart. Oh, Ram's in my heart. So we know the story, began to open his chest. And of course, in his case, there was Ram. The story is there that with Murari Gupta, he was encouraged, you must give up the worship of Ramchandra and take up the worship of Krishna, chanting of the holy names of Krishna instead of the holy names of Ram. And he stayed up all night fretting. I've been given an order by Mahaprabhu. I cannot do it. So he went back with his head hung. This is also interesting. He didn't go back, well, you know, you wanted me to give it up, but I'm telling you right here now, I'm so attached, so advanced that I just can't do it. No, he came with his head bowed, sorrowful that he could not execute the order of Mahaprabhu, feeling great disharmony within himself. I'm attached to Ram. I'm not giving it up. But Mahaprabhu has instructed me. This was what Mahaprabhu was looking for, of course. And he was very, very satisfied, gave him full blessings and all. So in this way, we see that devotees have their individual attachment. Now, bringing that point down to our level, we may have an inclination to worship a particular form of the Lord that should be under the direction of our spiritual master and within the line that we are following. It shouldn't be something we're introducing different than what others in our association. This is what Soto Sangha means, that we take the example of other devotees. So that's also just a point to consider there. You know. Now, Prabhupada notes here that when we say Krishna, this includes all forms of the Lord. In the Mukundamala Sotram, it states that there are 1,000 principal names of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So 1,000 names, Vishnu Sahasranam. But if a person utters the name of Ram only once, they get the result of chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. And Vishnu Sahasranam takes a while to chant. I know a few devotees in our community, they can chant all 1,000 names. It continues. And if somebody chants the name of Krishna just once, they achieve the results of chanting the name of Ram 3 times. So in other words, by chanting the name of Krishna, one gets the result of chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam 3 times, 3,000 names. Now, this isn't meant to be a judgmental, hierarchical structure of who's better than who. Oh, you're chanting this name, he's chanting, oh, much better than you. You know, that's not the indication here. The indication is that all of the names have the same potency, the same blessings, but some names are more directly connected. And we find this in our own lives. How we're addressed is going to indicate what the mood of that person addressing us is. If the wife says to the husband, my dear, could you do something for me? 2 things are indicated there. One is that there's a very sweet, intimate relationship that those words are used. 2 is that the husband has just lost the rest of his day. When the child calls out the name of the mother in a fearful state, they're scared and they call it out, that's different than when they call it out because they're hungry. It's a common habit, at least in American culture, to have 3 names. Your addressed name, your given name, your middle name, and your surname. Now, if your mother, at least in my family, because there were 5 of us and quite a handful, and if my mother called us by the name, you know, excuse me. I grew up with the name Chuck, so Chuck, come here. Charles Wayne Henderson. Well, you knew you were in trouble. If mom or dad used all 3 names at one time, it was a completely different mood than when she's trying to give you some chocolate cake she just made. So this is the point here, that the different names of Vishnu are going to have different relationships with different devotees. Generally, we worship Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya. This doesn't mean that we do not worship the forms of Raha or Nrsimha or like that. Each devotee has a different inclination that way. So what is the main point? The main point is noted here by Sridhar Swami when commenting on this verse, that none of the forms of the Lord are material. This is the essential thing. The offensive Mayavadis, they say, oh, see, says right here, he has no form. Therefore, nothing. Excuse me. But as we know, the word rupina indicates having a form. But when we add the negative or the in front of it, a rupina, this indicates the absence of form. So this is what they use to strengthen their argument. But this shows the importance, once again, of having an acharya, a pure devotee, give us the entrance into the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami is very good at this. Vishwanath Chakravarti is very good at this. Taking different words that would appear to have some negative meaning and then giving the true insight into them. Jiva Goswami is very expert at this. So this shows the importance of having the acharya give us our entrance there, because Sridhar Swami explains that rupina means form, avrupina means no form, but it doesn't mean formless, it means no material form. So therefore, he gives us that understanding, that ability to be able to appreciate this point. Now, For those of us at a certain age, of a certain age, I should say, we all know what having a material form is like. Young men, dance like crazy. I remember, I've told this story before, I remember when I was a brahmachari, I would sit down at the feast, one plate of sabji, one plate of rice, one plate of halva, 10 cups of sweet rice, and then we get up and go do a Gaur Aarti Kirtan like madmen, because we were madmen. And so now, that's not possible. That just can't be done at this age anymore. I saw a photo of myself recently from my high school days. I was very well built, strong, very vibrant. Actually had some good upper body muscle, you know. Quite different than the person I am in this particular manifestation. Prabhupada once said, when I was a young man, I ate halva every day, and I had a very good physique. And then he held his arm up and went, but now it is just like a flat tire. So this is what happens. When we're all young 20-somethings following Prabhupada, we had no idea of what old age was. None of us thought that far ahead. I don't know any of my friends when we were brahmacharis that thought, you know, one day we're going to be 70 years old still doing this. But now, at this stage in life, we're fully aware of what that old age is. I proposed a point to a group of my friends the other day. If you could change one thing about your body, what would it be? Now, those in material consciousness, of course, that one thing is usually, oh, I'd get, you know, some plastic surgery or, you know, this or that or the other. I said, if I could change one thing, I'd have my 20-year-old feet back again. Because these feet just don't do it. So, you know, the impact on the body, in my case, the impact of being on concrete floors all day, it just kills them. Concrete floors are not meant for the longevity or fitness for the joints and the feet. At any rate, the point is that this is a material form. The form of Krishna is not material. And Prabhupada said this is how we can judge our advancement. He said, if you're looking at the deity and you think, oh, there's marble, brass, wood, then you have material consciousness. Prabhupada mentions that we never see Krishna as an old man, Navayovanam, always eternally young, eternally youthful. Quite simply, that's why we have such a drive within our culture to stay young, to look young, to remain young, because that is actually our original identity. It's Krishna's original identity. But this body doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't happen that way. It's not a part of the packaged warranty, plain and simple. Now, everybody knows by now I work at Lowe's, and if you come in and you're going to buy a product, many people say to me, so what's the warranty on this? They want to know how long have I got that this is guaranteed to work the way I want it to. I was mentioning the other day that had a customer wanted to return something. They said, this didn't bring me the satisfaction it was supposed to. Yes, welcome to the material world. I said to my manager, I said, send him to the Hare Krishna temple. We'll tell him what that's all about. So, you know, what is the warranty on this? When we buy a car, when we buy an appliance or, you know, water heater, water tank, water softener, whatever it is we're getting, you know, we want to know what's the warranty. Yet, we've entered into this material body. We've accepted this body with no knowledge of whether it carries a warranty. And I'll tell you what, there is no warranty. There's no return policy. There's a take back policy, and the supreme energy of the Lord will take back our body. But the longevity factor that we're looking for, that extended warranty, it does not come with this material body. So from a consumer point of view, we're all consumers, from a consumer point of view, this body is a bad deal. It's got no warranty. There's no guarantee that it's going to function the way it is when we got it as when we're getting ready to give it up. So what kind of a deal is this? So this is why we see that there are so many different types of devotions, worshiping the Lord in so many different ways, because there's so many different circumstances that we're in. Not everybody at my age has bad feet. Not everybody at these young men's age can dance like madmen, you know? Come on, HR, come on. So, you know, we have to see that variegatedness. And yet, we should understand that this is because the Lord has so many different types of forms. So, just curiously, let's take a quick poll here in the class. Which form of the Lord are you particularly attached to? Prabhu? Radhisham Sundar. Okay, you just got gold stars. Burfi for this man. Who else? Particular form of the Lord that you're attached to? I'll go. Govardhan. Everybody knows that about me. It's no secret. Prabhu? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Someone may say, no, we mean deity forms. This is the deity form. Prabhupada made that clear. Srimad Bhagavatam is our Lord. Yes. Anyone else? Come on, I know you all have attachments to deities. Huh? Krishna Balaram. That's the answer we would expect from the temple president of Krishna Balaram Mandir, who's only temporarily residing here. So this is the point that every devotee has their different attachments. Even in a small group like this, we see so much variety. Yet, these are all forms of Krishna that are being worshipped. They're all connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the why may be an altogether much deeper topic that requires a look inside our own hearts to see what form it is that we're attached to, just as Hanuman looked in his own heart and saw Ram was there, and that satisfied his desire. So we'll finish there. If anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, chastisements, all the above, none of the above. We got a bunch back there. Who's got the mic? Karnapur, pick who you want. There's three of them right close to you.
So technically...
Give me 1 second to adjust my hearing aids.
Adjust your hearing aids?
Have at it, Prabhu.
I mean, technically, we've always existed, but Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and we were created for his enjoyment. Mm. He gave us individuality in the form of consciousness, and it seemed like there's unlimited living entities. Now, that individuality, does that mean that we're actually the supreme? You know, we're also Krishna, little Krishnas, but he limits the... the capacity of activity of that limited, because you know there's unlimited expansions of Krishna Ananta, so those forms perform different activities, but we've always existed with Krishna, but our only happiness is to serve him, because without service it doesn't seem to be complete, and we're just wandering here. But as living entities, are we that incomplete that are still striving for happiness outside of serving Krishna?
Yeah, that's our foolishness. That's how we ended up here. Why does Krishna get all the Mahaprasadam? Why is he getting all the Glubjimans? What about me? Now, of course, as cowherd boys, Krishna shares equally with all the cowherd boys, you know. All right, they all sit together and they exchange lunches, so it's very equal in that sense. But Krishna still has the best lunch. All the cowherd boys know it. You know, it's like when you're sitting at the lunch table in elementary school and you're looking what your mom packed for you and you're looking what your mom packed for the kid next to you. Hey, you want to trade? The kid looks at you like, well, do I look stupid? Absolutely not. You know, Krishna's not like that. And to your point, yes, we are all little Krishnas, but that's the thing, is very, very tiny potency, very tiny, manifestation, just a portion. A portion of a plenary portion, that phrase always caught me, but we're even further removed down the line than that. We have the quality of Krishna, just not the quantity. So yes, we're little Krishnas, but our satisfaction is there when we connect with, You know, Prabhupada's amazing ability to give examples that we can find in life. It's not at all uncommon when I'm walking around my plumbing department to find a little rubber washer laying on the floor. Now, if you're plumbing the bottom of your kitchen sink from your drain extension into the P-trap, that rubber washer is essential. That rubber washer has great importance. That rubber washer is very valuable. If you find it laying on the floor, it's just trash, you throw it in the garbage. So the reason it's no longer of any value is because it's disconnected from its purpose. Same with us. When we're disconnected, when we're not serving Krishna, that's when we actually become, just drop them in the garbage. Let them try it again. Dasrasutta Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for Harikatha. That's so funny about the three names. I think that's a universal parent thing.
Yeah, it's a universal parenting thing.
Charles, Wayne, Henderson, you know you're in trouble. Just a couple of quick notes. Several classes you're reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's 12 verses of
the ones that you translated?
Yeah, that's my version that I translated 43
yes.
years ago.
Yeah.
So the very first devotee I handed a Xerox copy to, he edited the title. So now whenever I hear you repeat the title, my blood cringes. 12 verses of my own self-imposed regular principles. The devotee told me, the phrases my own and self-imposed are redundant. Mm. Are redundant. So every time I hear that, I'm thinking, oh my God.
My apologies.
I messed up the title. What did I do to the shlokas? You mentioned the Sahasranam. So Mukunda Mala, when he mentions the thousand names of the Lord, did he say Vishnu Sahasranam in that verse? Or did he just say Harinam, indicating there could be many?
He didn't say the word Vishnu Sahasranam per se, if I remember. He mentioned the thousand names of Vishnu.
Just said
yeah,
a thousand.
So I may have superimposed that, but yeah. He did mention the thousand names of Vishnu by description, yes.
In my Sanskrit sanctuary, I have at least a dozen, and there's probably so many more Sahasranam Stotrams. There's Radha Krishna Sahasranam Stotram, there's Nisringa Sahasranam Stotra mm-hmm. from Nisringa Purana. Garga Sanhita has Balaram Sahasranam Stotram, and Garga Sanhita also has Yamuna Sahasranam. So there's so many Sahasranams, and believe it or not, they're really different. There's some crossover, some of the names are the same,
yeah.
But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds are unique for each deity. And speaking of deities, you talked about the Ishtadev, one's chosen worshipable deity. Mm. So in Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, and I guess Krishna devotees everywhere, they have their own very fixed up Ishtadev. And you'll be asked, what is your Isht? Isht comes from desire. What is your desire? Who are you hankering and longing to connect with? That is your Ishtadev. Mm.
Thank you.
Just a couple notes.
You have to be careful if you're giving a class in Dasarasutas in it, because he's no fool when it comes to Sanskrit and translating the writings of Acharyas. For those of you that are not familiar, his library would fill this temple room with the books he's translated, so we're very much indebted to him for this service. Ganga Narayan Prabhu.
There's a couple of different considerations here as far as what our Ishtadev is. Mm. And one of them is that if we're on the material platform, we have material desires, and we're not a Bhava Bhakta or a Prema Bhakta, we may choose a desired form of the Lord that we like or worship. But until we see spurtis of that Lord within the heart, we don't know for sure what form of the Lord our eternal relationship is with. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar went through different stages of worshiping different forms till he got back to his original form as a coward boy. So that's one consideration. The other is that the pastime incarnations come because there's a particular function to be performed. like that, separate from what his devotees may desire to see. In the case of Prahlad Maharaj, one devotee a few days ago asked the question, Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared before him, and that was the first time that he actually saw Lord Nrisimhadeva in that form, possibly. I don't know for sure, but he was wondering what form, before Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared, what form of Vishnu he was worshiping. He always saw Vishnu within his heart, but whether that Vishnu was Lord Nrisimhadeva or some other form, we don't know, as far as I know. Does that make sense?
I mean, it makes sense. I would assume, and I'd have to do research to give a solid answer, but I would assume that the form of Nrisimhadeva did not manifest until he came out of the pillar. So that form of Vishnu he was meditating on within the heart would more likely be a four-armed form of Vishnu that was commonly understood as the Supersoul. That's my two cents without any research.
Mother
Guru Prasad.
Thank you. Prabhu, is it possible to have more than one Ishtadeva? I mean, Guru, like, I dress the deities myself, and I can't think which one I like better.
Is it possible to have more than one Ishtadeva? Well, the very word Ishtadeva indicates one's personal connection, so that can't be legislated. I can't say to you, no, you get one, make a choice here, you know. I mean, Murari Gupta was equally attached to Ramchandra as he was to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
I guess you could worship both of them?
Yeah, why not? You know? I mean, here again, who am I to say one way or the other? However, we can understand that there is a very clear lack of restriction that you just get one choice. Now, you know, and to a point you made, Ganga Narayan, the idea of who our Ishtadeva is in this lifetime and then who we end up in our spiritual identity, if and when that ever happens to any of us, that's a whole other ballgame. First of all, it's way out of our league. As we say at work, that's above my pay grade. Go talk to a manager. So that's that kind of thing is above our pay grade. However, understanding the point that we have a particular attraction, whether it's something from our early days of Krishna consciousness or whether it's something that we've picked up the remnants from a past life or whether it's some experience we had. Those are all factors which play into it. Yeah, but it may or may not be the eternal factor of, you know, who we're going to be worshiping in our spiritual form. That's a whole other ballgame. I don't think any of us, I will confidently say, I don't think any of us in this assembly are qualified to speak on that subject matter. Maybe one or two of you are hiding yourselves out, but, you know. All right, so we'll finish here. It's almost 9 o'clock. Oh, wait. Somebody let the troublemaker in. The door was wide open, right? Yes, Prabhuji.
Well, this is all interesting, right? And we, you know, it's natural to think about it, but sometimes it feel like, you know, when we're a little, I remember in kindergarten we had this picture book of all the different careers you can do, like an ABC book. A is for astronaut and B is for ball player. And we're talking about, like, I'd like to be this and like to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was a valuable exercise because it started to get you thinking about it. But whatever the heck we were talking about in kindergarten doesn't have much connection to what we're actually doing as adults now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could think about these things, but whatever it is, it is. And we'll find out when we get there is kind of a thing, too.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Well,
you have, for instance, I can just say this because it's an international phenomenon that absorbed the world recently is the World Cup. And you have some of those players that since they were 3-4 years old have been doing this. So that is clearly an indication. So sometimes that's there, but these are the rare cases. Prabhupada says like that the special mercy cases, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an absolute thing. I mean, okay. You know, but I mean, as a general rule, I mean, we all thought we were going to be baseball players, you know, or whatever. And I don't know anybody actually got there, you know. So, but we will get there.
We will be baseball players?
Well, if you just, well, maybe not in this life. In the next life, you can be born in India and be a cricket player. But
are we going somewhere with a question on this or what?
Well, it's 9 o'clock. But Ross is also voluntary, you know, and it flows. It's not static, you know. So I don't know what that means, but when we get there. Of course, Chaturatma might already know. But, you know, so...
Trust me, he doesn't.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's interesting to, you know, to consider.
All right. Well, thank you very much for adding that, Sthita Damuni. All right. We'll end the Bhagavatam class there for today. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.